We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Dja-Dja-Wurrung country.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 192 of the Beyond 90 podcast. Eric Subihana here, joined as always by Emma Burke, Magella Card, and Dale Roots. It's been quite the week in women's football, as it always is. It seems to be some things that made us happy and some other things that, yeah, we'll get onto that later. But firstly, I'll just check on my co-hosts. Just going from left to right on my screen. Emma, how's the week been for you?
I've been pretty busy. I didn't actually catch much of the football on the weekend because I was at a bridal shower and then I was at work. But I followed along on my phone as usual because they can't stop me from doing that at my workplace. Or maybe they can. I don't know. They haven't yet, so I will persist.
I'd love to hear that. Of course, I'm in a workplace where it's pretty much almost encouraged to watch football on your screens, but anyway. Yes. Madge, my memory's already gone. Your team won, so
yay. Yeah. I saw two games of football. The two teams I wanted to win won, so, and I had pizza. So
you
pizza.
Did, and we'll get onto that later, but I loved your very simple review of the question and answer to the question I asked you. It was amazing. That's at the end of the podcast. Stay tuned for that. Also, Dale, how are you, Dale? Actually, one of your teams won, though, in fairness.
Up and down like a bike with square wheels, mate. Forward, forward, forward we go. It's been a big week. I mean, it's been an interesting one in terms of the Canberra United Capital Football story continuing to develop. But other than that, I had a lovely trip up to Brisbane on the weekend. Unfortunately, didn't get to see much because I had so much on with family. But, it was lovely. It was the weather was weathering, put it that way. We had a lovely time up with family.
Yeah, and actually, I better say this now before I forget. Both of your teams kept clean sheets, did they not?
They did. Yeah, that's very true.
First time for everything. First time. Yes. Yeah, cannot remember the last time I said that to you. Yeah. And as for me, on my Saturday, I did a work doubleheader of like a women's reserve grade and women's first grade doubleheader for Manly United. Then I called the game after that at the same venue. So that kind of triple header for two different employees. Yeah, don't recommend it. But, and then I called a nine goal thriller on the Sunday. So yeah, been pretty busy. I'm in the same boat as Emma. Didn't watch that much dub, but I mean, as someone who is constantly scrolling through their phone, I actually think I've got a fair idea of what happened on the weekend. So, but we'll get onto that later. First up, Matilda's cap 192, Larissa Crummer. Matilda's debut in 2015 and didn't end up making last year's World Cup squad, but you know, still very much in the mix. It's had plenty of recent squad selections. She's a Sunshine Coast junior, 34, not the club, but just a junior of the area, 34 appearances for 4 goals and known as a forward. Actually, almost very appropriate, Matilda, given my collection of co-hosts, having played for Sydney FC, Brisbane and Melbourne City, as well as Newcastle. Also a brief stint at Seattle Reign and currently a star of our Nordic Raps with Brann in Norway. So I think I'll start with you, Dale, because she is a Queenslander, but her first dub team was Sydney, oddly enough.
Yeah, I mean, she came down quite young. I mean, she's a 96 baby and she came down in 2013. So I think she was only 16 when she made a debut. And she was in... She started out playing as a defender from what I remember. And then I think that kind of grew into, I mean, the next major memory I have of her is that season at Melbourne City where basically she played up front and they just kicked the ball off her into the goal on several occasions. I mean, she might've had 6 or 8 goals in that season.
Wasn't she?
Yeah, I think she was on the golden boot in that season.
It was 11 goals, I'm pretty sure.
It was 11 goals in that first season. Well,
and it's the shortened season back then too, so yeah. It was like a big deal.
I remember watching her play against Sydney at Lambert Park in that first season in Melbourne City, and she was absolutely dominant in that Melbourne City team, and then kind of went away to Seattle. And yeah, she had an awful injury, as we all know, when she was playing against Adelaide, if I recall correctly. Double leg break, and I think she ended up having compartment syndrome as well, which is a really rough time of things. But yeah, I mean, she's such a funny player, because as I said, she started as a defender, she went back to being a defender for the national team, she went tried to play as a defender for Newcastle and Brisbane, and yeah, I don't know, it's just she's a real funny one. Like, she's obviously got very good athletic talent, but I don't think that coaches really know quite what to do with her in some sense.
And when you're tall as well, they kind of go,
yeah,
striker or defender.
One or the other.
Tall person. Yeah. But I think that, that leg break was, probably at a really unfortunate time in her career as well. So, I mean, even though she sort of has come back and playing for Brann now. So, yeah. And from all the reports, doing really well over there as well. So, hopefully getting some confidence and back, because I think this the last year in the lead up to the World Cup one of those was clearly a Gustavsson wanting to look at that sort of last sort of utility player, and really had her in the mix for that. But I think just being able to get away from here and get back over and just concentrate on, I think, being a striker. It seems like she's playing as a striker, fairly dedicatedly over there. Again, that seems to be sort of her preferred spot. And it's good to see her sort of, getting that confidence and game time back up. I guess my memory is even just remembering her, I think it was her 2015, it was at the World Cup in Canada that she... that she came on. So came on those few games. So I sort of remember her coming on, like the youngest player, I think, in that squad. She must have been close to it if she wasn't the youngest. So so one of those players who I think is a really solid player around the league, and but just interrupted with that really was a horrific leg injury.
My memories of Crummer are actually all Melbourne City, because when I first got into all of this, it was during that World Cup where she was the youngest player in Canada, and then she immediately signed for Melbourne City, and City were the team I picked. So I actually spent that whole season, because City did like radio coverage, so you could listen. I think it was Teo Pelizzeri, actually.
That
every
sounds
week
like a Teo Pelizzeri thing.
Sounds
he
like
would
Teo
be
thing.
Doing the radio coverage, and I would sit there and I would like listen to it religiously on my phone. So I do remember hearing many a call for Larissa Crummer-Gott, as she was wont to do that season. I probably somewhere in my room have the piece of paper from that, like the paper ticket from that grand final that would have her signature on it, because players like went around. That's my vintage. Probably have Kim Little's signature, actually. And that's worth something to me, an Arsenal fan. I was a big fan of her then. That injury was a horror show. And I know you said she started out defensively, Dale, but I do wish they hadn't tried to kind of shaft her back there, because that was... I think that was happening when we were getting really desperate, trying to find a central defender. So I think that's how she was, because she was playing defense in that game where she broke her leg. And I think that's why, because they were trying to see if they could move her. I wish that had never happened. I'm sure she probably does too, but she definitely looks on the injury situation lightly, because she now has a tattoo on her leg that she broke that says, "Oh snap." And I think it's got like an actual bone, like broken on it. That's... very funny. So
I just had a quick look at her stats. She scored twice. She's already scored twice in the Champions League in the group stage. And she came on the weekend at halftime and picked up a yellow card in stoppage time. So it's that kind of attitude that pushes this country forward, and we love to see.
Yeah, that's right. When, as an Australian, when you move abroad, you got to let the locals know you're near.
Yeah, you just got to kick people.
I heartily endorse that. And actually, that's what I was checking. So we're of the same mind, Dale. And yeah, it's like from humble beginnings, now playing in the UEFA Champions League. So Larissa Crum is still only 28. So yeah, plenty of football ahead of her. And also, yeah, I think Dale very helpfully mentioned before we started the pod. She is an apprentice carpenter. So that was started during her injury. So yeah. Learning a trade as well. And then, yep, we'll continue to update her because, of course, at Beyond 90, thanks to mainly myself and Stefan, we love covering the Aussies in the Nordic competitions. Now, onto as we dig into this very long Pod Notes article, Tilly's news, Matilda's squad for the game against Mexico, that's announced. I think no real surprises. Heyman's in there, but obviously she is. But that's that. There's a couple of sellouts for the games against the two Matilda's games against China in Adelaide and Sydney. I was really amused by the way this was worded by the Matilda's official account. The current sellable and available ticketing inventory has been exhausted. So someone's had a word to the media team and said, we don't want to call it a sellout. And then someone's workshop wording also implies at least that there might be a late release of tickets for both games.
I think there always is.
Sponsors who don't turn up.
I think the other thing is also like the media sort of boxes or the very premium fancy boxes for like companies and stuff. Sometimes they don't end up getting filled. And then I feel like people will take like photos of them and try to expose them. But there were never tickets that could be bought anyway because they were for companies or whatever.
I remember the days when they played those games at Penrith, and I think it was when they played at Homebush against the States as well, and they had a whole block of seats that were on halfway on the visible broadcast, on the visible side, that were all taken by Seven Consulting or whatever the sponsorship is. Now, as you say, I think that they kind of tucked them away a little bit more. They have to tuck them away a little bit more subtly so that they can kind of fill those A1 tickets for fans who are willing to pay a premium. But yeah, it is interesting. I look forward to remember being at the China game at Parramatta when Van Egmond scored that absolute banger, and the Chinese media were a good bunch. So it'll be interesting.
Ben O'Neill might not think so, Dale.
Yeah, no, I definitely had a good time. Ben O'Neill maybe not, but it was a good time. There was a good time to be had in the press box.
Just like I was actually, the memories, because I was there doing some humble little local radio thing, and there was enough of a fuss. I was not in the box with Dale at Combank, but I could see what was going on. I heard noise. Yeah. I looked to my side. I'm like, ooh, there's quite a commotion for some reason. So, yeah. Good times. The small matter of the Olympic Games draw. So we will be facing, why did I click out of my notes? Germany, Zambia, or Morocco, and then the United States. So, there we go. This is one for all the new football fans to this country. I hope you enjoyed convenient time zones, because this is what life is really like as an Australian football fan. 4
you know
a.m.
what?
All three 4 a.m. kickoffs.
As an old person, I want to complain at everyone, not just the Americans who are all of a sudden like turning it back like we've never had.
Oh, yes. Those were some tweets.
they can immediately get in the bin. But in my day, we didn't even have TV and we had to scrounge for possibly some sort of weird stream off some dodgy betting site.
Oh, yes. You have the stories.
On the other side of the world.
Yeah.
When our internet was even worse than it is right now. So
yes,
we have suffered.
Oh, yes.
Through pain.
And by the way, this is stuff from like, this is a story for stuff from like the last 10 years as well. Like this, these dodgy streams. I remember hearing stories about this up to 2018 maybe? But And Odong has some stories of dodgy.
I was going to say.
Oh, wow.
I think we're close to Madge giving us the story of Bradman and the pencil on the tin at this stage. People complaining about this coverage. I was going to say, you might be, you might not know who Don Bradman is. You absolute zygote.
I know who Don Bradman is. I've been inside the MCG before.
That's
please.
Good. But yeah, we.
I'm an MCC member. I know who Don Bradman is.
We are not far off, you know, total coverage of sport. So, like, you know, hopefully I won't have to go on bethere.wav and have my files exposed to the entire world for wanting to watch a women's football game.
Yeah. The stories of what would pop up on your screen when you try to access these streams of questionable legality. Oh well, at least thankfully we might have Seven, isn't it? Has the rights?
It turned into like I don't know. I mean, this may also be too old for people who listen to this, but like the IT crowd, and there's that scene when Jen's just got her computer just full of pop-ups.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. Channel 9 has the rights to the Olympics this year.
But as far as the draw is concerned,
yes,
like every group is a group of death. And you know what? I think ours is probably the least deathy of them all.
Honestly,
I'm not unhappy.
Germany are in their flop era. The US are an absolute basket case right now. Mm. And Morocco or Zambia, I think that could be fun for us.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a little bit worried about Barbanda, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, who isn't?
Yeah.
I think you'd be a total idiot. You'd be ostrich, like, head in sand if you were not worried about her. But I think it'd still be fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Flop era Germans, basket case US. I don't, like, we could win. We could easily top this group.
We also probably only need 5 points to go through.
Oh, yeah. Teams taking points off each other. Good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They also have, Zambia also have the most expensive women's footballer in the world, Rachel Kundananji.
Oh. Who's on for Bay FC?
She's at Bay FC, yeah.
Yeah.
And positive for the Matildas with this draw, great beaches. 2 games in Marseille, 1 game in Nice. These girls are going to be coming back tan. It's going to be hot down there.
That's the analysis we're looking for here.
The only downside is there's no sand. It's all rocks.
But you know when we were over there for the World Cup, we did take a nice boat ride out around Marseille, and there was a nice little sort of enclave-y bit where you just jump out of the boat and you have a swim around. So, yes, beautiful area. I'm very jealous, and I already have FOMO of all the people who are going because I cannot afford it this time. But you know what? I'm going to organize pre-game watch parties for you remotely. So
yeah.
Yay. Oh, thank you.
I wonder if like during the World Cup in 2022, there were watch parties, similar time issue, obviously. There were watch parties at bars in like Newtown and you know, the town hall.
Oh, no, I was actually talking about for the people traveling.
But so yeah, I was going
to
say.
Pre-game for the people traveling, which I cannot go to.
I desperately need someone to organize one, like an actual physical pre-game thing for the Germany game, because that is happening on the 25th, which is also my 25th birthday.
Wow.
Oh, so Matilda's Active can do that as well. It's just like we haven't had great success with like in the middle of the night games, but given it's Olympics,
yeah,
we'll give it a go.
It's
as long as it's really fun for me.
It was the bar that they went to in Nice for Matilda's Active. That was good fun.
Mar Nolan's.
Mar Nolan's, that's right. The 3 Diables in the Nice Town Square.
Might be hitting them up again.
Oh, dear. We're allowed. Let's try not to cause some kind of diplomatic incident.
I mean, this podcast
is
always
that what international sporting events are all about.
Yeah,
are you not meant to make a nuisance of yourself? Like, just a little bit.
We're just following in Dawn Fraser's footsteps.
Well, for some things,
maybe not other things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. By the way, Stefan, he told me during the week he will be going there. I think Green and Gold Army said the schedule was pretty full on, so I'm not going to pressure him for like a travel blog or some such things, but I'll be keeping an eye on his tweets and perhaps checking in with him because, yeah, there will at least be some kind of Beyond 90 presence there. So, yep. By the way, Madge mentioned they're all groups of death, so might as well give you the full list. France, Group A, France, Colombia, Canada, New Zealand, and the other group, Group C, Spain, Japan, Nigeria, or South Africa, and Brazil. And especially if Nigeria wins that playoff, no thanks. That's a no from me. So, yeah.
But also, it'll be so much fun to watch Spain and Japan play again.
Yes. Fair. And without one team resting all their players this time. So,
you got to play to win.
Yes. And Kieran, of course, reminding us. Yes. By the way, again, for the new fans, this tournament's got an 18-player squad because of, I think, the broader requirements around maximum number of athletes for the whole Olympics, not just football. So it's real minimalist stuff. And three games in 5 days or six, it might be six or seven. But the point is three games in a week or less with an 18-player squad. And he said, once you make it out of the group, which in itself is a massive job, it's straight knockout, and any loss is framed as a systemic failure. Football analysis.
Team GB, just a failure.
Yes, that's right. the gift that failure, keeps on giving.
I know, like you can go back to previous Olympics when they even made it and they still got knocked out.
Yes.
The joy.
Sweden loses. Netherlands loses.
No Olympics. One of the great tweets.
Yes, and also shout out to Sophie for our weekly tweet taking a dig at Team GB. Just asking everyone off the draw what group Team G was in. Priceless. Every week until the Olympics, during the Olympics and probably after it, I'm just gonna keep finding these tweets because it will never stop being funny. Now, the latest week in the dub was a lot. We'll start with Wellington 4, Adelaide 0 in midweek. Always tough for Adelaide to travel midweek to New Zealand. So it proved, I think, 4 second half goals. A rare goal from Michaela Foster as well. And I did like Kate Taylor's goal where there was a goal mouth scramble and then Kate had clearly had enough of this nonsense and just kicked the ball as hard as he possibly could into the net. But because of results on the weekend, not to be for Wellington, they will miss out on the finals. At least they had that moment. And it seemed pretty good, all things considered, for a Wednesday afternoon kickoff. The crowd at Porirua was great, I thought. It seemed great on the stream. Now, on to the weekend. I suppose we'll get the most awkward bit out of the way. Best wishes to Hannah Keane. Really bad injury. And I think I read enough tweets that I now don't want to see footage of it. But that had to have rattled Western United, who ended up losing 3-1 to the Wanderers. But, you know, I'd like to thank Megan. A-League Women account initially posted a best wishes for Hannah Keane with photos of her on a stretcher. And Megan said, basically, what are you doing? And then they changed the tweet. So that was good. Also, she did say after Harding's goal to give the Wanderers the lead, the best atmosphere, the most atmosphere I've ever heard and felt at Wanderers Football Park. And she's definitely an expert of games at that venue. Not sure if that's a good or a bad thing, but anyway, it was a good thing. Also nice that the fans were on the field after the game. So the Wanderers are almost there for their second finals appearance, but they still need some kind of result in the final round. But also, there's no confirmation yet on Hannah Keane, is there? So, yeah.
Not that I've seen.
We're not expecting... wishing her a speedy recovery because it did not look good. I don't know. Might truck it up to you and see what other results.
Western Sydney wearing their away jersey in this game, and Western United wearing their home jersey despite the game being played in
Western
Parramatta Hill.
That was one for the people that hate unnecessary away kits.
At least there was a change, and they didn't have to wear each other's kits. So I guess that's a positive.
Yeah,
but it's not even like the kits the proper way around wouldn't have worked. Yeah.
Correct. Predominantly black kit for the Wanderers, yes. And
yeah.
Western United very have a white, very striking
yeah, United. Yeah, it's all white.
Really
yeah.
White
yeah.
one. Yeah. Mm.
It's never know. Now I just think Western United accidentally packed the wrong kit, and then they just like sent a quick message to Wanderers. Ah, we've brought the black kits. Can you wear your white ones, please? But I don't know. I mean, wouldn't surprise me. Given would also be nowhere near the least embarrassing Woso kit thing I've seen recently. But anything else stood out for me? Oh, by the way, yeah. In the last weekend, 7 home victories out of 7. So, yeah, rough for all the travelling teams. Yeah, I suppose the other thing I saw the most tweets on, Newcastle 3, victory 2. And Melina Ayres, yeah, like you'd think the team that would know the most about Melina Ayres' abilities is the team that used to have her, but knowing that's not enough for victory and they're still in jeopardy going into the final round. But yeah, that I'm struggling with maths. That's kept the Jets season alive, right? That late double. Otherwise, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, Jets are on 30 points with the game yet to play, and they're only 3 points out of the they're only 3 points behind. So I mean, the rule about the goal difference is obviously a big one, because they have the worst goal difference of all the teams against whom they'd be pushing for a final spot. They're the only one with a negative goal difference at this
the
point.
Most
but
wins thing.
If they win this weekend and Melbourne victory lose, then they'll go ahead of them on wins in the season with 10 against 9. So interesting times ahead. That would be after the season that Newcastle have had, both in terms of their women's team and as a club, that would be a massive result. Akin to like as good as how well Central Coast have played, in my opinion, because Newcastle as a club have been an absolute basket case this year. But yeah, also potential for goal of the season, in my humble opinion, Melina Ayres, because she again just kicked the ball really hard,
as she did many times for Melbourne victory, and now they know how the rest of the league felt like all those years. Yeah. So also, I'm just thinking Newcastle. Well, I mean, Adelaide bottom of the table. It is a Friday away trip, but.
That matchup coming, like for both of those teams, Newcastle are a good shot.
And also Newcastle going first, so they win and the pressure is then
on victory for sure.
Away at Sydney in the final round.
Yep.
Tasty,
and also something that was, well, I'm not sure tasty is the best word, but at the end of the game, Belinda J. Barbieri engaging in some good old-fashioned dark arts. Conveniently untied shoelace. Emily Gielnick took exception to said dark arts, and then it seemed like Isabel Nina took exception to Emily Gielnick's entire existence.
She tried to put us straight into the shadow on that. Izzy Nino, she was not well pleased with the way that she... And I said this to you, Eric, earlier before we recorded. I know that Gielnick did get a yellow card, but I'm surprised that there wasn't more made of her actions in that kind of fracas, because things got.
She started it.
Well, she started it. You shouldn't
and
be putting
she went
your hands
on with
a player above the. You shouldn't be raising your hands at all. You can't touch a player by the collar. Yeah, I wouldn't have had a problem if Gielnick was sent off.
Yeah.
Also, yeah,
maybe I'm too fragile.
I wouldn't have had a problem if Gielnick had also gotten a red. I haven't seen many people saying that Nino shouldn't have, but I mean, when you come in and you retaliate as well. So one, yes, the hands up near the face, that's always going to get you a red. And also the retaliation is the type of thing that will get the red generally as well. So, I think Gielnick probably very lucky given the, even though it probably wasn't reckless, it was very unnecessary contact that could well have been punished a lot more than it was, even though it was like pretty harmless in the physical sense of things.
Kind of harmless. I have seen a photo of Izzy Nino's neck, which Newcastle photographer took, and those marks didn't get there by themselves, so if there's no further sanction, I think Emily Gielnick will be very lucky.
Yeah, I just had a look at the MRP email that we media elites get. And yeah, she wasn't even mentioned. There was no further sanctions to be taken in this one. So she was yellowed on the field. That's where it stays by the sounds of things.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can't, because it's ruled, the thinking there is the ref's already seen it.
That was on the field. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Also, by the way, if you've seen the clip and wondering why the ref didn't do anything about it, it's I've only done a level 4 refereeing course, but they're basically, I was told, and shout out to Kiana at Kiana Raw, because she knows a lot about refereeing. She agrees. Yeah, that's what they're told referees. If you aren't comfortable getting in the middle, take a step back and watch so you can identify the players involved. There have been referees pushed
getting
to the ground
in between Emily Gilnick and Nino.
Yeah, that's
somebody with a death wish.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's a rare miss from the at She Scores Banger account, by the way. Basically, yeah, wondering why the referee was taking a step back. I'm like, yeah, because you're not there to break up fights. And one of the wisest phrases, sayings I've ever heard, breaking up fights is overrated. It really is.
The best form of self-defense is running away.
Yeah, yeah. It's running, it's,
or that's, just be Chico having a good laugh in the background.
That,
considering,
by the way,
had been doing with Gilnick for that whole game, they were at each other's throats for the whole game, pardon the pun, and then for her to just be like, no, I think I'm just going to let this one go.
Yeah, that Claudia Chico, by the way, I think we are all lucky that she didn't want to get involved, because she is not small, and
yeah,
when she's angry, she's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, so I think we've seen her come to blows with the players, you know, nose to nose in MPLW a few times.
Yeah, and it's that's not the person I want to cross, and not least because it would mean no more free wine. That's right. Wellington's finals chance is extinguished by Dale's people, Canberra defeating them 1-0. A goal from, oh my God, Michelle Heyman, who would have thought? Surely not.
Michelle Heyman scoring goals?
I gotta say, it was fantastic finish as well for this one. Real kind of craning, turning the neck to head home, Flannery's cross. Wellington really only had themselves to blame for this result, because they had five or six.
Quite a few others.
Guilt edge opportunities. Chloe Lincoln played quite well, but she, if I recall correctly, I think she had one, there was an effort where the ball just fell into her hands in this game, off a post or off a player or something. But yeah, she was voted Members Player of the Week, so it kind of tells you what kind of game they were playing.
What else? Sydney expected 3-0 win over Adelaide. That's tough. Wellington away, then Sydney away a couple of days later. Oh yeah, Madge, go on then. You should.
I had great time. To talk about
Brisbane versus Perth.
Raw call were allowed back in the stand because it was raining, so we didn't have to get rained on the hill. And yeah, had good times. One of my faves, Kaya Stevenson, chipping the keeper after a horrible back pass from Perth. But yeah, absolutely latched onto it, and a really nice finish over Morgan Aquino. And then a beautiful ball not long after from Jenna McCormick through to Sian Fryer. And yeah, slotting it away and 2-0. Could have had some more again, like that's a typical Brisbane game, like had more opportunities that, you know, they probably didn't take full advantage of. But also Keely Richards having a good game and goal. As well. So yeah, Perth just basically just blown it in the second half of the season, haven't they? So I think they had a few good chances, but yeah, that's where, you know, Keely really stood up and didn't really have too many attempts on goal. But yeah, it's just a really solid win from Brisbane.
Yeah. And I think the one I didn't mention, Melbourne City 3, Central Coast Mariners 0. So Melbourne City almost getting sealing a top two spot and the double chance. But yeah, also it's the final round, but before that, on Wednesday afternoon, Canberra versus Sydney, which Sydney win seals their fourth premiers plate in a row, I think. But
that's correct.
In the final round of Mariners versus Western on Thursday, that's a good game. Then Adelaide versus Newcastle on Friday. On Saturday, it's Wellington Wanderers, with the Wanderers still needing a result possibly, and Brisbane versus Canberra. Then on Sunday, Sydney versus Victory and Perth versus Melbourne City. So, yeah, I think we're expecting Sydney to get the points required to seal the Premier's plate. So really, everything's all eyes on that Wanderers victory Jets trio to see who misses out.
And, yeah.
Table Adelaide, in the show notes. Yep.
Adelaide Newcastle is on the Friday at 5 o'clock. So yes. Melbourne victory will know what they have to do.
If they have to do anything.
Yeah, if they have to do anything, if they get a win, if Newcastle get a win against Adelaide, which I don't think many people would be surprised by, then yeah, as you said, Victor will know what they need to do. And Western Sydney, I mean, they already have 10 wins at this point. So either of those teams winning won't really affect them. It'll just be a matter that they'll drop down to sixth, most likely. Yeah,
well, but
there is,
Jets
as you say,
Jets winning by 3 goals.
There is that there.
Puts
there
them,
are a lot
puts
of
them ahead of the Wanderers.
There are a lot of permutations in that one, and also we do have a six team, like they there's a knockout between first through third through sixth.
Yep.
Straight up, so they won't want to be facing rivals, et cetera, in those in those key games.
Yeah. So, yep, I've put the table and the tiebreakers in the show notes just in case. Yeah, but yeah, we'll be looking forward to covering that for you in the next pod, which may very well be on Easter Monday. Now, yeah, it's the stickiest part of the podcast. Canberra United. It's the worry is only growing and growing and growing. I today, as of the time of recording, I shared a petition on the Beyond 90 platforms. Thanks to Michaela Danvers for starting it. So I encourage people to read the link, which is in the show notes, and then sign if they haven't already. But also, yeah, this is how has it come to this? I don't understand. Or even why does the men's team, which did, why does the possible failure to earn a men's team, which hasn't ever bothered Canberra United in the past, why is it now suddenly an issue?
I think there's plenty of questions. Yeah, Capital Football seem to have, I mean, they really look like they're abandoning the club at this stage. There was an article, I think, by Mel Dyniashki, who said that they basically can't afford to run the club anymore, which, you know, if that's the case, then that's obviously terrifically sad, but then the question becomes who else would run it. And this feels a lot like a similar situation to the Mariners back in 2011, I think, when Football New South Wales was, I believe, was funding both them and Sydney FC, and they just kind of cut their losses and said, we can only really afford to keep one team. And obviously Sydney was the bigger market, so they were kept. But yeah, I mean, I think the thing for me is, like, it feels like this has been hid away for so long. Especially with all the kind of positive chat around, like, the Auckland men's expansion team, the possibility of a Canberra men's expansion team, the kind of continued support for the other men's clubs with Newcastle and Perth now having new ownership. I think this has kind of felt like it's been on the back burner for a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it would be terrifically sad if Canberra was to go the way of the Dodo. Obviously a foundation club, hugely strong area in terms of football, not necessarily just because of the club, but also because of the
they've
produced over the years. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. There's actually an AGM going on tonight, or an extraordinary general meeting going on tonight, from my understanding. So yeah, I think watch this space. By the time that this podcast comes out, there could be more news. Because there's the I think the Socceroos are playing in Canberra. Tomorrow night was meant to, yeah, there was meant to be, or there was rumored to be an announcement that was going to be coming ahead of that, but it doesn't look like that's forthcoming, which, yeah, could be back to 11 teams next year, unfortunately.
I mean, there's a lot of trying to read between the lines, and it's hard not just to think the worst of that. Capital Football's just gone, oh, okay, so there's going to be a men's team coming in. They're going to be expected to take on the women's team. Like, they pulled back, not thinking that they will have to support it. I mean, this is me. I know nothing. But it just, yeah, it to have a foundation club be treated like this by the APL when, and just going to the higher level stuff when the APL was taking over, like, And I know the men's side, the A-League men's, have many similar complaints. Like, they were going to run the game better, but then look at how, you know, one of the, you know, what you would think is one of the bigger brands in the dub is being treated. It's pretty disappointing that either the attention to make something of that club and make something of the dub in general just hasn't been followed through on. Hopefully we can see a good resolution, because it would be really shocking and really bad to see Canberra go by the wayside.
I said it last week and I'll say it again. It's just going to be very, very embarrassing for this to happen if we lose Canberra United. It's a foundation club. It's one of the only of its kind, I think, in Australia, and probably was one of the first like professional or semi-professional standalone women's football clubs. It's not something you can see frequently. It's not like with men's teams, you throw a stone, you've hit seven of them down the street. Like, this is rare. And the fact that it's survived, and not even survived, thrived, and like Dale said, produced so many important Australian players is just, it's disappointing, but it makes me even, like, I feel unwell saying this. I'm not surprised that the APL doesn't care enough to fund them. I don't think we'll ever see what kind of cash they put into Perth and Newcastle, like you said, as well. And the fact that they can't even can't throw us a bone. Made all that money in the Women's World Cup, brought all these new eyes and attention to the women's game, and so many of the Matildas, even the current ones, are former Canberra United players that wouldn't have become the players that they are without Canberra. It's just embarrassing. It's giving women a second-class citizens, and disappointed but not surprised, unfortunately.
Tend to agree. And as you said, on top of all of that, this is one of the funny things about Canberra is that Canberra is Australia's seventh biggest city, behind the Gold Coast and just ahead of Newcastle, if I recall correctly. And the blessings of the very well-educated citizenry of Canberra and their very high average income, and obviously therefore expendable income, means that unfortunately there isn't the level of industry where people are making enough money to bankroll a team like this, like there are with the other consortia that run other clubs in the country, whether that be the new bloke who ran Perth or Tony Sage in the past, or you know, other clubs like Wanderers, for example, are backed mainly by Western Sydney-based businesses, is my understanding, or business people by, is my understanding. But like, there is no billionaire who lives in Canberra who would want to stump up the cash, and that's the unfortunate reality. It's the same way that it's always been. It was the same way with the Cannons in the NBL. It's the same way with the Brumbies at the moment in Super Rugby, and the Raiders live off the money that they make through the TV deal and through the pokies. But in terms of football, it's a slightly different beast because we don't have those social clubs and we don't have the business there to kind of throw us a $10 million bone or however much it's going to be. But yeah, it is the unfortunate reality of the capital. It's been that way for a while. But yeah, as I said, it would be very, very sad to see them go.
Yeah, so we hope to have better news in upcoming pods. We're just holding our breath. Last thing I want to say,
if Canberra United go under, Canberra can't have a men's team.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Absolutely cannot be allowed to happen.
And I don't think they will. I think that's one of the prerequisites for Canberra getting the team, is that they have to keep the women's team.
Yeah.
Because I think Auckland are meant to have a women's team in 25, 26.
That is the chat, yes. That was what was announced a couple of months ago. Yeah, so let's talk about more positive things. Emma, Arsenal's coming to your home city to play the A-League Women All-Stars.
I'm so excited. I did manage to snag some tickets today.
Yes. I hope you didn't pay too much money because I have seen some prices.
No.
Yes.
No, I did not. Some of us are not. Some of us don't have a very, expendable income. Mm-hmm. Some of us enjoy the cheap seats and freezing to death at level 3.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And watching little red dots run around. Not very different to watching little red dots run around on my computer screen on some very questionable links. But I'm very excited. I think it'll be really fun, actually. The men's game is like Newcastle versus the A-League's men, and they're the curtain raisers. So good. Hopefully that means all their fans will leave, and then we can maybe steal some better seats. That's what I'm hoping for, at least.
I do think there's a downside, though, having the doubleheader, because I think they're probably two very different markets.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think they are. I know they are.
But it'll be fun, I think. I'm really excited to see who they end up pulling up for the All-Stars, the A-League Women's. I think it's going to be very highly debated and contested, regardless of who they end up picking. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to, pull Matildas for it.
Yeah, considering... that's basically talking about Michelle Heyman here, obviously. Yeah. That'll be interesting. With
Courtney Vine and all.
Yep. Yes.
But, I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited. Hopefully they bring many of the good players with them and don't just, leave them all behind being like, no, they need to rest.
Oh, well, the British players won't be needing to rest. They don't have anywhere to be.
What have they got to do other than come be an Arsenal player in Melbourne?
I mean, at least Melbourne works for the British players because, it's basically London in June or July. It's, just the big tall them playing at the MCG though is just or at
Marble
at Docklands rather still just blows my mind that the women are going to be playing an All-Stars. Like the fact that there's enough demand for an All-Stars game is crazy to me.
Yeah, it's really cool, I think, that we've gotten this far. But yeah, Marble, it's fine as a venue, I guess. I'm still not sold on it, even though I've been to quite a few women's games there. Don't think I ever will be sold on it, actually. Just put it in Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it in Amy. It's rectangular. And then we don't have to have people sitting 300, 400 meters away. You can have them nice and close and they can see.
Do it as a standalone. Do it as a standalone in
Please.
Amy. Would have rocked.
Love
it would absolutely rocked, yeah.
Oh, God.
Whereas this, you will have the men's fans leave. You'll have them, and we'll have the women's fans not showing up for the men's one.
Yep.
Looking forward to the A-League All-Stars Women's Ultras. That will be an interesting experience. Active the perception for a need for active fans. It is going to be. I mean, because not to dunk on Newcastle United fans, but they are. They have punched horses before. So, them and Arsenal women's, who I tend to associate with a certain level of eloquence and a certain level of, a certain demeanor about themselves, knowledge of the game. Dress well, speak well. very good on camera, great personalities. Newcastle United are just blokes named Dave who turn up at the pub at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday.
And wear T-shirts in -17 degree weather is the other.
Yes, and have tattoos.
Like there's going to be a lot of TikTok content in the active bay for the Arsenal women's.
I think there will. Yeah. That'll be great. That's a good point. Have to have them sitting at other ends so that they don't meet like a derby. Oh, the police presence for the Arsenal women's, that's going to be funny. We need to charge the Victorian government overtime so that we can keep these rowdy hoodlums under control.
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's 20-something-year-old queer women
Yeah, it's just 25-year-old queer women in scarves drinking coffee at 9 o'clock at night.
And they're just standing there like, wow, why are there horses here?
Yeah.
There'll be so many horses.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for those horses that have to work that late night shift.
Docklands, like, in terms of the venue, where it is in terms of the city is good. Like, at least it's right next to Southern Cross, so, like,
you end up in such a bottleneck trying to...
But, yeah, I was going to say, there is...
That's awful.
And there's only one tram. The two tram lines that run, perpendicular to each other.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
Look, I'm sorry. But at least... No, it doesn't take that long to walk. I mean, as long as you're able, it's like you just walk a little bit and you're out of there.
Yeah, come on.
Spoken like a true Queenslander. Placement of any stadium in central Melbourne. I just am not going to have it.
No, that's fair. But I will
as Madge catches the stand up paddle boat down to Brecky Creek to get off and walk to Perry Park.
Yeah. No, Perry Park is fine as well. I can't complain about Perry Park. That's got a very good train station near it.
It is.
I will complain about Ballymore, though.
Yeah.
You do at least know when you're in the right place, especially because there's only so many, ways to get there. You always see, everyone that's going there is on, one of, two trams or one of, three trains. So you're never lost.
Just get off at Southern Cross. Toddle, 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 and you're there.
So... I was actually looking at Euro 2025 qualifiers. Back to Dale's point. Interesting with games being played 31st of May and 4th of June, roughly. Mm-hmm. So we wonder which of Arsenal's biggest players will actually go. So, but, at least the three Australians will go because, they have to be here anyway for the games against China. So at least... I suppose that's probably the most important thing. So selfishly speaking, I don't want Katie McCabe to go. We need her for Ireland. So because Ireland is the relegation favourite. I'm sorry, Emma. Ireland is the relegation favourite in that group. And
I understand this, but I want to see Katie McCabe play a game where I don't have to, in person, where I don't have to root against her.
Surely we'll get Kim Little. Yes.
Oh, yeah, so she retired from international football.
Oh, yeah, we'll get Kim Little. There we go.
Perfect. Returning to Melbourne.
Yeah, she's probably got... She probably just crashed on someone's bed. Crashed on someone's couch, spare room.
She'll be calling up Rebecca Stott or something.
Do you have anywhere I can stay?
Do you know anyone that'll let me stay with her? Oh, damn.
So, just before I move on, any particular strong feelings on who should be in the All-Stars team?
I feel like there's been a lot of... I know we've had a lot of goalkeepers, but I do agree with some of the Perth comments that I've seen coming on and that...
For Aquino?
Morgan Aquino, I think, has been criminally underrated in a lot of discussions recently. I know it's one of those things where, of course, she's made lots of saves because look at the Perth defence. And what they're letting through. But at the same time, she has been pretty spectacular as well. So it's just interesting that she hasn't come up in more discussions for things like this. And even, how old is she? She might have aged out of some of the youth team.
Oh, yeah, Def. She's born in 2001, I think.
Yeah.
But, I'd be shocked if Aquino wasn't selected. Also... Yeah. There was a point made on, I can't remember who made it. Because I believe dub contracts end the day after the grand final. So, just actually whatever legal formalities have to be sorted out so that, insurance and whatever, it's important.
So whose banner are they actually playing on, the promoters or the AAPLs? Because... I'm sure I trust the APL to have this sorted.
Yes. Mm. Yes, I trust them. I trust them greatly.
Mm.
Yes. I cannot speak.
I would also... I also prefer not to speak.
No. If I speak, Twitter will suspend me.
Everyone knows who I want to be in the All-Star team. Let's go on. Let's move on. Now,
I'm kind of keen to see what the uniforms end up looking like, though. Sorry, not to just...
Oh,
You know what? I'm betting on some sort of like royal blue. Like not a sky blue.
Not a bad take.
Maybe blue. I reckon it'll be a royal blue. It's going to be red versus blue.
Because they went with white for Barcelona last time. The A-League men went with white for Barcelona.
That's a really good shout, actually.
They might just use the new Auckland.
They're going to get it from that guy that ran on the pitch.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who cares anymore at home?
Blue and orange, like the competition logo, maybe? Just a thought.
Not terrible.
Works for both because Newcastle wear black and white, so blue wouldn't be too much of a clash. More on that later.
Yeah, and as long as it looks better than... I haven't watched an A-League men's All-Star game till since the first two. So just better than those two uniforms, we good.
You know what? They need just a patchwork quilt of every A-League.
Yeah.
I like it. Just
very good.
Either stylish or deliberately garish.
Deliberately obtuse.
Deliberately garish is what we want.
Yes.
And I reckon I honestly think that would sell like nothing else.
That would be really funny.
Very big, big magic round areas.
And it's like I think perhaps do we move for that for Canberra? Do we move back from the dark green to the lime green just to maximize
how absolutely.
We don't know if Canberra will be in existence at that
point. And you know what, we're at it, Victory has to have their fluoro kit.
Oh, yes. You pick every team, the most offensive kit in every
Brisbane
team's history.
Are already offensive, so there you go.
See, I like that. This thing, we got something good out of this. That's it's a happy discussion. I would totally spend that. I could add to my jersey collection if it's the most disgusting thing that's ever been made in this country.
Just get unwanted FC onto it. There you go.
Yes. brief news up. Daniela Galic, named in Goal.com's list of 25 best wonder kids in women's football. Good for her. Born in 2006. Is this a list Mary Fowler made a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Good to know. We're still getting teams on it. Good to know we're still getting players into that. Also, file this under I didn't know clubs could still sign players. Brisbane Roar have signed young goalkeeper Tini Sunderland from Virginia FC for the remainder of the season, which is one game. So enjoy your one game scholarship contract, Tini. And he actually, a couple of days ago, you given me some good insight, Matt. She's not even NPL. She's second tier, FQPL.
She is. I'm speculating. I'm not quite sure what the history is, but I can imagine with NPL in full swing. I mean, not that FQPL isn't, but perhaps none of them were necessarily wanting to give up their NPL gigs for one game with the Brisbane Roar or two games.
Yeah. So, you assume she's quite young. Oh, yeah, scholarship deal would imply that. Yeah. So, you know, it's time in an A-League women environment. So I hope she enjoys it and learns. And then it'll be good for Virginia FC when she goes back there as well.
Getting to train at future Olympic venue CUSAC.
Yes. there's another mess, but that's not, for once, it's not football causing the mess in Australian sport. See, it's not just us. It's just usually us. The tournament that I forgot about once Sydney FC were eliminated, the AFC have cancelled the Women's Club Championship final that was scheduled for May. Oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, Asia can have some outlandish travel requirements, but it was Urawa Reds from Japan and Hyundai Steel Red Angels from Korea Republic. So come on.
Are they not next door to each other?
Especially by Asian standards, yes, they are next door to each other. I mean, even
like the contact traces because it popped up again recently. And there's just that one bit where she's just like, these men. And that's what I feel like this is.
Yeah.
It's just
these men.
AFC being these men.
Yeah.
And,
you're on mute, Dale.
You're still on mute.
Thankfully, the men are being silent.
Ah, yes. Do you actually need something to say?
Yourself off mute, Dale.
He's gone. No.
No, what have you done? There we go.
Try that. Is that better?
Yep.
Yes.
My apologies. the year of our Lord 2024, and I still haven't figured out Mitt. I was going to say, there's a group of islands in between these two countries, and they could literally have just met in the middle. Jeju literally hosted games at the at the World Cup.
Mm.
Just play the game in Jeju. It's not that hard.
Mm. Is there even a reason? It's not even really a reason.
I mean, the reason is it's the AFC, and
AFC's run out of money.
I'll admit, I stopped caring once Tori Tumov's team was no longer in the competition. That's not an excuse for the AFC.
No.
Maybe it is.
I can't do that.
But also, I mean, what you're saying,
Tori Tumov's fault.
You're saying Tori Tumov making an impact in the minds of many people of Asian descent, and they were just like, nah.
get him out of here.
The party's over. No, cancel the competition.
This guy.
Just as we worked our way down the pod article. Oh, yes, this week's Schoolboy Errors edition. I mean, error's not quite the right word, but a strange graphic from the A-League Women official account. Talking about highest A-League women appearance makers amongst goalkeepers, because Jada Wyman hit the century this week. They showed all four clubs Mackenzie Arnold has played for, correct. But then only listing the current clubs for Melissa Barbieri, Lydia Williams, and Casey Dumont, which was, I thought that was strange, especially Lids, one of the many players, Matildas, who has played for Canberra United, and Casey Dumont, Melbourne Victory legend, Casey Dumont, but with that very gold Mariners logo next to her.
And Brisbane Roar.
Yes. And Western Sydney Wanderers.
Yeah.
So
they've been everywhere.
And Barbieri, Melbourne Victory as well. Adelaide.
Adelaide, yep.
Yep. And maybe another club or Newcastle? Or no, just those three
clubs. No, okay. I think that was it. So,
yeah, that was... Yeah, like, I mean, it just... I just found that odd, that inconsistent approach to classifying the keepers. But, yeah. And also, I like your point, Dale, with Mackenzie Arnold and the four logos, finding the smallest PNG file they possibly could. Yes. Oh, but maybe they just got on Canva, zoomed in really far, and then just made the thing as small as possible.
Dot ICO icon file.
There's a file extension type I haven't heard in a while.
I also find it interesting that Western Sydney get to have a star.
I have always said that.
You all can see it, but speaking of stars on dub jerseys that shouldn't be there, here's an Adelaide United jersey I have with a star.
Mm.
I can't get it to work, but yes, I have such an arrangement, and yeah, that's it's interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, where are Melbourne City's stars? Sydney's stars. Like, why do they get one?
Yes.
Your Honor. I don't know.
I don't know either. Also, let's see. On to, I don't know. I mean, I will put the Champions League stuff in the show notes. Anyone have any particular takes? I think Chelsea won comfortably. Everything else was kind of close. But, and as you mentioned, Dale, Larissa Kummer got booked against Barcelona, was it? Yeah, good for
her. Yes. I know that was in the, it was in a league. Sorry.
Oh, it was in a league. Sorry. Oh, yeah. But I think, Kummer, I don't. Crump, she got on the game. She got on the park against Barcelona.
It was Champos or if it was just league, but I think Claire Hunt has picked up a stress fracture.
That's unfortunate.
Bad news alongside Katrina Gorry's injury in game as well. That was
big set. Yeah, 0 out of 10. Yeah, big set from the weekend's game against between West Ham and Chelsea. Also, I thought of you when I saw this, Emma. Couple of Mark Skinner tweets. Yeah. Also, good for those of you that know the scene in England, good to see Paul Wheeler and Jesse Parker Humphreys agreeing on something at least. But Skinner round chants now clearly audible on the TV broadcast from the Manchester United fans at the Etihad as their team are brushed aside in the derby. That is a crystal clear message to Man United owners, if ever there was one, from Paul Wheeler. But Jesse Parker Humphreys saying, the fact that Mark Skinner is still in a job tells you everything you need to know about Manchester United as a football operation. I mean, she's referring to the women's. Maybe this applies to the men's as well. I don't follow that league anymore. But yeah, utterly humiliated in almost every big game they played this season. Yikes.
I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
They've spent
so much money on their squad as well.
And then Skinner's press conference general weirdness is...
Look, at least we've been saved from the hat, is all I can say.
Because of the Manchester weather. The Manchester weather's good for something.
Only good thing.
And I did watch a little bit of, like, I watched the mini match of the derby. And, you know, I really like Gase, and she just didn't look happy either. Like, it looked like bad vibes. Like, it's one thing when you're losing and there's still, you can see your players caring, and but yeah, there was nothing much good happening at Manchester United.
Because didn't the head coach used to be before him, wasn't it Casey Stoney?
It was. And Casey Stoney had them at the top of the league for a time.
Casey Stoney had those players ready to run through walls for her. And she's done the same thing at San Diego. So it's clearly a skills issue. And a lack of skills.
Tend to agree.
Yep.
Get him and his stupid hat out of there. I know we haven't seen the hat in a long time, but I don't care. I know it's out there. I know he has it somewhere. Get him out.
Yes, yes.
Be gone.
This is I think we've this pod has added two pillars, laughing at Team GB for Olympic qualification failure and Skinner out. We'll keep going. Also, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Dale, your team did win the derby, but they didn't lose either.
One of the less consequential games. Well, consequential is the wrong word. It was the least football game. It was the least. This game just sucked. It was just not a very good. It was if you were to say to somebody, if you were trying to get somebody into football, like, you know,
nil or draws can be really exciting, wasn't that?
This is the zero on this. This is the zero on the 0 out of 10 scale of games to show people who are not convinced about football yet. Yeah. Actually, this might go beyond the scale. This is an irrational number. Yeah, this game just properly honked. I watched the highlights of this one, and it was basically kickoff and the whistle. So
a dash is actually a divide. It's 0 divided by 0.
Ah, true. Yep. I think that this.
Well done, Madge. Love it.
Yep.
they were having the middest of mid offs. Is that?
It wasn't even. Yeah. It was a proper honk off. Like, yeah, it was not great. Do yourself a favor. Don't watch that game.
Yeah.
But we also didn't lose, and therefore, success.
Oh dear, that's like for a game with so little happening. You had a lot to say, Dale. Love it.
I've never been one really to not have an opinion.
That is true. That's very true.
Just to make sure that everyone really understands.
Yeah.
That it's
It sounds like A-League Men's Sydney Derby I watched many years ago now, and the way I describe it, but that finished nil all between, and the way I described it to people after the game, the two teams fulfilled their obligations as per the competition regulations. With regards to completing fixtures, that's how I described it.
Forfeited the match.
They didn't forfeit.
And it's probably the type of game where you just feel really, really sorry for the people who have to edit the mini match.
Yeah.
What do you put
they're
in?
They're just dragging the timestamp around.
I was going to say.
Just showing all of the walkout. All of the handshakes.
You have to have the lineup graphic for like 30 seconds, and then you cut to them walking off at halftime.
Yep.
Show them like waiting around for halftime to start.
Yeah. Need some dressing room footage.
Maybe some shots of the people warming up on the sidelines.
Yeah.
A distracted child, a cut to a shot of a distracted child in the crowd. That's always good.
Yep.
Good for Phil.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. I got it now. And thanks for saving me from this highlights package. So I only have to watch 5 this week for the WSL. Yeah. So also, by the way, big win for Polly Doran's Crystal Palace, although she's still not back to playing. I think 3-0 over Watford, I'm pretty sure. So, yep, they're 1 point behind leaders Sunderland, is it? It is in the championship with a game in hand. So that's one to keep an eye on, and it's very tight title race in the championship. Charlton Athletic fifth, for as an example, but only 4 points off the lead with a game in hand. So it's going to be tight with three or four games to go for the teams in that title race. Yep. So I will update the other Aussies abroad stuff at some point. Let's go on to NPL. And I mean, let's start with the best thing about NPL. Madge, tell us about your Brisbane City match day experience.
Oh, well, I just finally got along to my first NPLW game of the season. And I chose to go to Brisbane City to see them play Penn Power. Not because I particularly care about either team, although Brisbane City does have quite a few fun players, like Georgie Worth is in goal for them, and Lani Fry, Sean's twin sister, Talitha Kramer, Billy Murphy. Oh,
Talitha Kramer, NPL New South Wales legend.
Yep. And also Tully Heatley, who scored a goal. But the best thing about the game is, of course, going and getting some nice, beautiful wood-fired pizzas, which they had cranking out from the ovens out the back. And it was primo. I think I did bag it the last time I'd gone there, because I think it was just some sort of dodgy batch. But it is certainly back up to standard. Beautiful margarita, the queen of pizzas. So that was the highlight.
It
was a good game as well. But yes, absolutely, City. You know, keeping their place at top of the table, putting four past Penn Power.
Yeah. And thanks, Madge, also for when I asked the most efficient food review of all time. I asked for her for I've embedded this in the show notes. I asked her for you, and Madge just posted a photo of an empty pizza box with not that much oil staining. Madge, did that pizza even touch the box?
Yes, it was gone pretty quick. I'm not gonna lie. You know what? Like, when the dough is just gorgeous as well. You know, you're just happy to chew away on that crust because it's really good. Yeah.
I've never had that experience in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sorry.
I'm not sure
if they do the gluten-free ones. No, I'm sure they do.
It's really bad. It's like cardboard. It's really... So I'm really glad that you had a really good pizza, but I'm just saying this is incredibly unrelatable content for me. But I'm glad you had a really good pizza.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, Dale, did you get to watch any NPL New South Wales?
I did not this weekend, unfortunately. Actually, no, I think I might have caught the tail end of a game on the Sunday, probably before I dipped off for my old man snooze. But no, I didn't catch any this weekend, I tell a lie. I watched that Lake game, the Bulls RPA Bulls, game.
Yep.
Which was a cracker, if I recall correctly.
Was it
3-2 or
3-all? 3-all at the end.
I did watch
Trudy Burke, the penalty saving machine.
Yeah, then saved a penalty and then had it tapped in after Bulls just decided not to chase the ball into the penalty area.
Yeah.
Which, in my humble opinion, should render your registration moot and you should be banned from playing football.
Perhaps again, another strong opinion. Maybe we don't ever give Dale play football access, but
didn't chase it in, banned.
Oh dear. Also, I called University of New South Wales 3, Sydney Olympic 6. I had fun calling it, but a very, very silly game, as you tend to get when there's 9 goals. Also, watch my employers break spirit hearts on the Saturday with a 93rd minute equalizer. There were claims of the ball going out in the build up, and I said to my friend, I hope we score now, because they think the ball went out. We promptly scored, and it was very funny. And then I had to redo my full time graphic because I'd already assumed that we were going to lose. But that's tough.
Every time.
Yep. Also, Emerging Jets, they lose a lot of games, as we know, long-time watchers know, but a 3-all draw with Sydney University at Lake Macquarie Regional Football Facility. Also, shout out to a couple of injured players. Charlotte Lancaster had to be subbed early after a heavy challenge. It was a suspected broken leg last night, but actually, shout out to Dean from the corner of Yellow. It's apparently just muscle swelling, so... Thank God for that, because she was
those are very brilliantly. Different injuries.
Yes, but I mean, perhaps just a little bit of panic after seeing a player go down. So hopefully it's not too long before Charlotte's back playing for Apia. Also, a really a really bad one in the Stingray Spartans game, as in I actually recommend you don't see it. Best wishes to Tara Cannon. Looked like a head injury, and the game actually had to be stopped for 40 minutes so an ambulance could get onto the field at Macedonia Park. That was unfortunate one. Stingrays ended up winning 5-1, but yeah, just hopefully we'll be trying to get an update from Stingrays when they can. But yeah, obviously that was yesterday as of the time of recording. So yeah. Ah, best wishes to Tara. Now, yeah, I think we're up to Queens, Kings and Emperors of the Week. So Emma, yours, yes. Nice and standard, nice and simple, also a great choice. Yep.
It is Steph Catley. We love her. No, she, yes, thank you, Dale, for joining me in the cheering. She just had her 100th appearance for the Arsenal, which slays. And she is now, I think, the 11th player in Arsenal women's footballing history to do so. If I'm reading right the stats that I got. But yes, yeah, good for her. Queen. It feels like just yesterday she was abandoning me at Melbourne City to play for Arsenal. I already went for Arsenal.
You didn't take that at all personally.
No, not at all. Steph Catley, if you're out there and listening to this for some reason, yeah, I still love you. I will still gladly accept you back to Melbourne City when you decide to come home. But no, I do enjoy seeing her in the Arsenal red and white, and I will enjoy seeing her in person in the Arsenal red and white.
Oh,
but yes, 100 appearances, queen.
Yeah. And I actually had a similar sentiment to you, Emma, although expressed differently, because I was thinking, oh, she's up to 100 already. Because yeah, her playing for Melbourne City does feel like yesterday for me too. So
yeah, it's, that is a weird one.
Yeah, just
but, crazy.
Yeah. Champions League and all that, yeah, you do rack up the appearances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more
amazed that there's only been 11 players make 100 appearances.
I think if I'm...
Short league seasons, perhaps?
Yeah. Only 20 game seasons or something.
Yeah.
Hang on, okay. I know it was tweeted by an account that is reputable. Oh, still? 11th member of the current squad.
Oh, that makes more, right. So much more sense.
Yeah, that makes so much more sense to me too. I was like, wait, 11th? What are they doing? Are they turning... Like, are they just letting players go all the time? They do, but not that much. So the 11th out of the current squad.
That's better, because like Emma Byrne would be like
crazy.
200?
Oh, 300? I think she has like over, like close to 300 if
yeah,
I...
she would, yeah.
Close, because she was there for like ever.
Yeah.
Queen. Oh, also a queen.
Oh, absolutely. Madge, again, you got another standard but excellent selection.
Oh, look, just the best you didn't want a moment. Milena Ayres just giving it back to her old club while, you know, arguably the person who she was potentially replaced by got herself in trouble. So, you know, banging in two goals for Newcastle against victory. Scenes, you know, you just love a bit of spice in the league. So, yeah, that was – made some good talking points from the weekend.
Thanks, you. Thank you for saying possibly my favourite forward phrase in football, Madge. Dale, who have you chosen?
I've gone with Chloe Lincoln this week. I think it's been a pretty tough week for Canberra on and off the field, but she did very well in the game against Wellington. One of very few clean sheets that Canberra have kept this season, so we love to see that.
Yep, and my choice, it's the Crystal Palace women's fans. Over the weekend, they set a new record attendance for the club, for the women's team, 5,566, and... Big three, as I said earlier, big 3-0 win over Watford to keep themselves up there in the title race. I mean, it's easy to say, if they win their next four games, they're getting promoted. So well done to Crystal Palace. And I hope Polly Doran gets back in their lineup very soon. So she can do that and then take her rightful place in the WSL. But so that's it. It's another long one, but yes, that's Australian women's football. Okay. Yes, that's
if on that get uncertain a normal note. Week of football, we'll have a normal length pod.
Yes, but
because the football refuses to be normal. Neither can we.
Thanks. Thanks for your validation, enabling. I don't know what that is, Emma, but it'll do for me because it's very late. So, yeah, on behalf of Emma Burke, Magella Card, and Dale Roots, this is Eric Subihano signing off for episode 192 of the Beyond 90 podcast. It's the usual. Have plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, razzlers, and please sign up the petition so that we can keep Canberra United going because we can't lose them. See you next time.